You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined by Jason Beck. Beck, man, we've talked about Justin Verlander has certainly made some strides since his return from injury, but the near no-hitter the other night, Chris Iannetta, of course, hitting a double on the chalk in the ninth inning that would have been Verlander's third no-no, but, you know, the takeaway obviously is less, you know, what that would have meant for his legacy or history, for me at least, and more about what it means for him going forward. I mean, he's really re-emerged as the ace we all knew and loved, basically. 8 runs allowed on 33 hits over 52 innings, a 1.38 ERA in that stretch. As difficult as this has been for the Tigers this season, that's a huge step for them going forward, because we obviously know this guy is the leader in the rotation going forward.
Yeah, it's as rough as this stretch has been, and looking at the numbers in August, they're ugly. The fact that you can look at Verlander this month is the month that Verlander became Verlander again, even if it's like a slightly different form of it, I think could be the biggest development of the year in terms of this team contending again. He's got that swagger. He's got that look about him. He's sustaining strength into the late innings. The fastball, while it's not 99 or 100, he's got that reverse splits, as I like to call it, to use a running term, where he can start out 93, 94, and then pick it up as the game goes on, to where by the eighth, ninth inning, he's up to 96, 97, not just when he wants it, but, you know, as long as he wants to throw it, not just situationally. He can pound the strike zone with those and just have hitters come hit it. And it seems like it's 96, unlike early in the year, it's 96, 97 with the type of deception, type of movement that it's making it hard for guys to hit. He's not just swinging it up there with no idea where it's going. He seems to be able to throw 96, 97 with control, and that's huge for him right now.
Yeah, you see that, and you think, you know, he could live up to the terms of that contract, which is something that even a few months ago was hard to fathom. But great credit to Justin Verlander, obviously a great competitor in this game. And how about this guy, a competitor, 39-year-old Randy Wolf? I don't think he throws a 96, 97, Beck, at least, you know, to the naked eye. It doesn't look like it's getting in there. He had a he retired the side against the Angels one inning last week, and not one pitch thrown that inning was harder than 77 miles an hour. Obviously getting it done with a lot of guile, 2.57 ERA in 14 innings. This is kind of a fun story here down the stretch.
Yeah. Somebody on Twitter told me it's almost like a real-life version of Billy Chappell. Kevin Costner's character was a Tigers pitcher from The Love of the Game. It's like, I think Billy Chappell supposedly accomplished a little bit more, but also I think Kevin Costner might have been able to throw harder back then than Randy Wolf is right now with some of these breaking balls, although he got his fastball up around 90 miles an hour the other day. And it's it's a sneaky fastball if you're not looking for it. It's fascinating to watch this right now. It really is. And maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe most of Detroit doesn't care. But to me, it's almost like this interesting experiment brought on by absolute desperate necessity to find somebody to help fill some innings here. And quietly, it's working out where he's not just throwing innings, he's throwing effective innings. He's giving this team a chance to win, even though they can't score when he's out there. And he's showing that the soft-tossing pitchers that Detroit seemingly avoided for years, they can succeed here. He goes in there. He's not just an active participant. He's an architect of the game plan that he goes in against hitters with. So he knows how his stuff plays against certain hitters. He knows how to sequence it. And he's getting it done. And I think in this age where I think we're so fascinated with the next great young pitcher on the scene and what they're going to mean for the game and how they play the game forward, it's cool to see a guy like Randy Wolf disappear for basically a year, unless you were in Buffalo or following the International League circuit, basically reappears, and is throwing effectively against a lot of odds.
Absolutely. And, Beck, I got to ask you this. You know, Randy Wolf has those slower pitches. There's nothing slower than an EFIS pitch. How in the world does a guy get hit by pitch on an EFIS pitch? We saw that with Alfredo Simon hit Edwin Encarnacion, and that was obviously about the only thing that the Tigers could do to keep Encarnacion from driving in a run or hitting a home run over the weekend. Well, it was to hit him with an EFIS pitch. But how does that happen? That was one of the strangest hit by pitches I think you'll ever see.
Yeah, that might be one of the 10 craziest things I've seen covering this team. I mean, like, ever. It loops up there, and it's almost like Edwin Encarnacion is looking with curiosity at a bumblebee or something, and then all of a sudden it, like, dives in and stings him. It was absolutely bizarre to watch. And, you know, Simon didn't talk after the game, so there's no telling to ask him whether, you know, there was any sort of intent there. I know it traveled in the type of trajectory we've usually seen from his EFIS pitches recently, where it just kind of sails up and out towards the third base side of home plate. But I think it registered like 46, 47 miles an hour on game day. And that's just absolute nuts.
You might break game day with things like that. A 48-mile-an-hour hit by pitch. Victor Martinez, he's played some more first base here lately when Miguel Cabrera first came off the DL. But it seems like the knee thing is just not 100%, and maybe it was unrealistic to expect it to be 100% at any point in 2015. I know it can take up to a full year removed from that surgery to really feel like yourself again, but is that, and he did have a nice stretch around the midway point of the season, but really it just hasn't been there for V-Mart this year. Do we just chalk it up as a lost year as a result of the knee thing? Is there a deeper concern there? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we have to chalk it up to a lost year. I remember thinking when the news first came out about him injuring the knee, it just sounded like really, really bad news, even though they gave kind of that kind of vague timetable on when he would he'd be back, and that they were still hoping to get him back for the regular season. That's just, it's a difficult surgery to come back from in mid-stride for any player, but to do it at 36, I think is asking a lot. And while I think he tried diligently to do it, I think he worked about as hard as he could. I think Father Time might have won this one against him. And now the question is, can he get it back to where he needs it to be with a full regular off-season of workouts? Or is this going to be a lingering concern for the rest of the contract? Because if you remember, from what we were told, the injury happened when he was just playing catch out in the front yard or on the driveway or something like that. So it wasn't even like he was doing this intense activity. So it's going to be something I have to monitor. It might require some sort of change to his off-season routine, something like that. But it also might require a change in just the way he approaches things. He's obviously healthy enough to play. I mean, he's been playing first base on and off here for the last few weeks since Miguel Cabrera's come back. But it doesn't look like he's able to generate the same type of explosiveness, you know, with the bat. And, given how much power he generates from his lower body, the knee seems like the ultimate culprit.
I'd ask Brad Ausmus if there is a concern there, but it sounds like he just cut me off and said, yes, there's a concern. Everything is a concern right now. Was that the moment the other day in the press conference, somebody prefaced a question by saying, is there a concern? And you take it from there, Beck.
Yes. Yeah. That was a new one for me. He basically, it was almost like he was ready for whatever question was going to come, and he jumped on it. And it wasn't maliciously, but I think it kind of spoke to the desperation of the situation right now. They've lost, they lost 9 out of 10 coming out of that Toronto series. They ran into a juggernaut in Toronto, but at the same time, it looked like a team that was kind of staring into a lost season here, and it was having trouble responding. There were little plays here and there that just kind of spoke to what their situation was. Anthony Gosse obviously forgetting how many outs there were on the fly ball to deep right center. Another one where Kevin Pillar was between second and third, running from first base on the fly ball to center, and somehow got back in time. Although I think that one might have been a little bit less on Gosse and a little bit more on some positioning there from some of the infielders. I don't know. Other guys not running out pop flies that were proved to be difficult plays in the sun. Jose Iglesias got caught between first and second and hesitated on double play ball, kind of a reverse double play where they got the out at first initially. It was a rough scene in Toronto. I think there's no other way of putting it. And I think as the Tigers head into September, talking with guys, they're going to have to find some motivation here for the last month or else it's going to turn ugly.
Absolutely. Concerns all around. I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us to talk about all that. And thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras Detroit Tigers Edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.